שלום לכם, תודה.
Hello to all of you, thank you for joining us in our new live series of talks. Hello, Dr. Av Leitman. This is show number 1244, and the subject for today is social intelligence. Today, we're in the time of the coronavirus, and it taught us many things. It taught us that we need to, first of all, watch the health of each other. Each one becomes responsible for the health of everyone around him and society as a whole. We were taught to stay 2 meters away physically from each other, wear a mask and so on, maintain proper hygiene. We were made used to doing all sorts of things that we weren't used to doing before, and the purpose of which is to watch over others, to protect others. And protecting others also helps us protect our own health as parts of society. So now these days, the coronavirus is disappearing, vanishing, and we return to our routine. And the question is there anything left from what we've gained, the awareness of the individual and the all these practices that we adopted? And also, if there's anything we should take, well, the main question is there anything from the social intelligence that we acquired during the time of the coronavirus that we should continue with and maintain going forward? Dr. Leitman, well, you should ask the people, all the peoples, humanity as a whole, I think. From what I've learned, this was an integral blow striking all of humanity around the globe. The whole earth seemingly had this wave traverse all the continents, all the people. As I see it, something like this never happened. It's the first time that we felt a general kind of blow that everyone was struck by. Some felt it a lot, some didn't feel it so much, but in general, it was a very special blow, integral. Oh, and what kind of social intelligence would you say that it developed in us? Dr. Leitman, we are on a small planet. Our Earth is small. We are all here together. We are interdependent. And we also now depend on some virus that suddenly is discovered. And in a month or two, it can strike at us in such a way where we either sit at home, or we may even be made to lie down, being unable to get up, and so on. And this is a good learning. We should think of it. Owen, how do you think we should translate this learning of the social dependency and the mutual dependency and the social intelligence that developed? How can we translate it to other areas except for health? Dr. Leitman, we need to understand that the natural system is a global one, an integral one. And this system is tending towards making of us an integral part of it. And according to what we felt, all these changes in nature, how the water, the air, the animals, the fish, everything was somehow revitalized. It all became so much better to live on this planet. And we need to understand, well, we need to learn how much we harm nature. And on the other hand, maybe that was the intention of nature, to show us how much harm we're doing, and for us to therefore think of what to do with the ecology in order not to elicit another such blow like the corona or something similar. Owen, and what about relationships between people? What kind of social intelligence would you say developed in us during the coronavirus pandemic in terms of interactions and social relationships? Dr. Lightman, I don't think we can hold a proper summary at the moment, but from what I've seen, I believe it could be said that we saw that it's fine to sit at home and not to run around doing all sorts of things. And we felt closer to our families. We saw that we can get along just fine without 2 hours transit to work and back from work and being 8 hours at work, away from the home, away from the family. We saw that it's possible to do it in a different way. Many of us also learned that it's possible to work through the internet. Also a large part of us learned that it's not so terrible if we don't fly around abroad or go to restaurants and all sorts of things of that nature. We need to look back at those things and see that, well, it only seemed like a good thing, but in order to understand it truly, we have to go back to those same temptations, those same restaurants, etc., and see that, well, it's not it. Owen, I want us to define the concept of social intelligence. There are two words here combined: intelligence, which can be intellectual or emotional, and the social aspect. So brain researchers say that there are mechanisms in the brain which are calibrated towards communication with other people. We have actual mechanisms of that nature. And from that, they learned that human beings have such qualities in potential as empathy, the capacity for cooperation, and so on. But throughout life, we need to actually act upon that potential, fulfill the potential. Would you say that there is something called social intelligence in the person? And if so, how to define it exactly? Dr. Lightman, the potential exists, but we're not using it. Owen, potential for what? Dr. Lightman, potential for good connection. Owen, so how would you define it, and what is the definition of social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, well, as far as I'm concerned, intelligence is the sum total of knowledge that a person acquires through life, through impressions from the experience of living, from science, and so on, from psychology, from the environment, and you can call that a person's intelligence in total. Owen, and what is social intelligence, more specifically? Dr. Lightman, it's the extent to which we require a society. Owen, so a person should learn that he requires what exactly? Dr. Lightman, that he requires an environment. I'm not talking about a society, which is perhaps something more inner. He requires an environment. And this environment will help him establish himself correctly in his family, in his workplace, with respect to himself individually, and to advance in general. He requires an environment. Oh, and you said we have a potential for a good connection with people. Dr. Lightman, only a potential. Owen, let's define this potential, and what is good connection with people? Dr. Lightman, it's where I should understand that it's good for me to be in a good connection with the environment, because from that I can make a profit. Owen, how would you define a good connection? Dr. Lightman, a good connection is such where I receive all sorts of tools from them in order to make my life easier. And if a person is detached from his environment, he will starve to death. He won't be able to succeed in anything. He should go out to the forest and live there. Let's see what happens with him or somewhere else. He needs other people in order to survive, and not just to survive, to succeed and flourish to an extent in something in his life. Oh, and so I think this feeling is inherent to us. Naturally, we are social beings, social creatures, and you say that we have some potential that's unrealized and we have to develop it on. Dr. Lightman, yes, this is only on the condition that we require a society. It's more than we have naturally. I begin to ask how to stop making all these mistakes in life, and by that, or from that, I come close to the society and I start learning from them. Each one of us feels that on occasion. Oh, and we have to develop this consciously. This will be our social intelligence. Dr. Leitner, if a person... Well, it depends on how he relates to life. It depends on his inner development, what he has to begin with. Am I looking to make to succeed thanks to the society in some way? Or do I want the whole of the society to be integral, where we all connect in a good, nice way, where sociology and psychology, they both support that approach, and therefore it's worthwhile for me to establish such a society where we all, in general, enjoy our collective work. Here, there needs to be a very intelligent approach. Owen, regarding the intelligent approach, there are researchers defining social intelligence as the new study, the new scientific field in human relations. So what would you say the new science of human relations is? Dr. Lightman, we need to be compatible with nature. Nature is an integral system in terms of the inanimate, vegetative and animate degrees, and we also need to be included within that system and not to feel that we are separate from it. Sadly, we are separated from nature, distinct from the rest of nature due to our egoistic, evil nature. We are willing to exploit and destroy all the animals, all of nature, in order to get some false sense of profit from them. And by that, we don't enjoy our environment. We only elicit all sorts of virus and unpleasant reactions from nature. Oh, and when we talk about social intelligence, there are two aspects. One is social skill, let's say, to feel the needs of others and act accordingly. And the other is social awareness, where a person is capable of properly perceiving someone else and his feelings and thoughts and so on. So what would you say social intelligence includes? Dr. Leitman, the main thing is that each one should help his friend. A person who runs from the society, runs off into the forest, cannot survive there. And we need to learn how to enter into a proper connection between us in order to be compatible with the upper forces of nature, which encircle us, close us in an integral system. Then we will enjoy every single moment of life. Owen, how do human relationships relate? What's the connection between that and the forces of nature? Dr. Lightman, it's also part of the forces of nature. Owen, what? Relationships between people? Dr. Lightman, yes, certainly. Relationships between wolves and birds, isn't that a part of nature? Owen, is there some intelligence, something we need to learn and apply from nature to human relationships? Owen, Lightman, of course. Owen, what is it exactly that we need to learn and apply to our relationships? Dr. Lightman, nobody receives from nature more than he needs in order to live. That's one thing. And the other thing is that we can help each other live in an integral global way. Owen, what does that mean? Dr. Lightman, it means that we all belong to one species, one humanity. And using our science, we should build ourselves up as parts of one system in mutual support. That's what nature demands of us. Owen, during this corona pandemic, we learned that nature is making us more careful not to transmit viruses to each other, diseases and plagues. So what are the viruses, if any, that a person should be afraid of in his day-to-day life, even when the corona pandemic passes? Is there something I need to be careful about giving to others or receiving from others, some viruses, so to speak? What are they? Dr. Lightman, examples of the evil inclination. Owen, what do you mean? Dr. Lightman, each one should give the others a good example in terms of how he uses his own nature. Owen, can you explain? Dr. Lightman, I have passions, desires, thoughts, wants and likes, and I need to show others how I use all those for the benefit of society, for the benefit of the environment. Oh, and so how do I use all of my inner human forces, my attributes, for the benefit of others? Is that the intention? Lightman, yes. Oh, and are there any rules we should maintain in order to, well, keep our social health? Before, we had rules to keep 2 meters distance between each other. We had a mask, hygiene, and so on. So what rules would you say we can act according to in order to maintain our social health? Dr. Lightman, don't do unto others what you wouldn't have done unto you, and love your friend as thyself after that. Oh, and will that make us healthy socially? Dr. Lightman, also biologically, also in terms of the society, also psychologically, also spiritually, on every level. Oh, and so these two rules, don't do unto others what you wouldn't have done to you, and love thy friend as thyself after that, are they tied to the concept of social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, yes, of course. Owen, what's the connection? Dr. Lightman, these are the rules that the society has to draw upon, and we have to actually act accordingly. Owen, if we measure a person's IQ, well, first we measured IQ, now people are talking about emotional intelligence, the left side and the right side of the brain, and so on. Now I want to advance with you and talk about social intelligence. What will be the measure of a person or a society where you can say that they have social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, that person will know how to connect properly to the society, to the environment. He will receive from the society what's good for him and what's good for them, and he will act in their benefit, and so he and the environment will enjoy. Oh, and it's nice that you're tying the concept of joy into this. It's the second time already that you tie joy as concept to the concept of social intelligence. What's the connection between a person's joy, or people's joy, and social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, well, it's simple. It seems to us that it's cold, like intelligence is a cold thing, a very sterile thing. It's not emotional, but person, the human being, is ultimately the will to enjoy, the desire for joy. And if he has the ability to connect to others properly in order to enjoy life, and to also delight others, then this intelligence will propel him forward. Oh, and the ability to connect properly to others and enjoy it? Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, is that how you define social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, yes, because we are feeling beings, we are sentient, we are the will to enjoy, and all of our intellect, our mind, is tuned towards how to enjoy our relationships with others. Owen, but people have interactions in life which cause them suffering, not joy. Dr. Lightman, lack of intelligence. Owen, what doesn't he understand? Dr. Lightman, he doesn't understand how much he stands to lose. Owen, what don't we know that makes us suffer sometimes in our interactions? Dr. Lightman, we don't know how to connect to others and enjoy our interaction with them. Owen, I understand that this is the accurate definition. Yes, Dr. Lightman, it's with our children, with our spouses, with our relatives, with our friends, and through to the whole world. Owen, if we take a person who has high social intelligence, everywhere he goes, any interaction he enters into, regardless if it's the closest people in his family or at his workplace or anyone else in the world, a person who has high social intelligence, when he begins an interaction, what does he first identify? What does he see? Dr. Lightman, he identifies the way in which he can do good to the society, which will in return do good for him. It's reciprocal, because a wise person has his eyes open. He understands that if the society is better, then he will be better off also. Owen, what is the first thing he notices? Dr. Lightman, what good he can do? Owen, that's the opposite of the natural inclination of the person. The first thing is always, what do I get from it? Dr. Lightman, well, it's certain that good will come of it for you. Owen, no, what you're talking about is exactly the opposite from person's natural inclination. Wherever you put him, first thing he thinks is, what will I get from it? And what you said is that the first thing he should notice is, how can I do good to others, Dr. Lightman? Because then it's certain that he will be happy. Owen, why? What's the connection? Dr. Lightman, by that I neutralize my enemies. I have good relationships. I protect myself in the best way possible. And this is even in terms of our ego. To connect properly to others in a good way means that you promise, that you guarantee a good attitude in return from them. What does a mother tell her little baby or little child? You go out to the street now, don't hit people, don't fight, play nice, play well, share. It's like that. Intelligence. Owen, how would you define a proper connection with others? What is a good connection? Dr. Lightman, in the best interests of others. Owen, okay, to understand social intelligence, let's hold a comparison. Let's take a person who has very, very high IQ and a person who has very high social intelligence. Two different creatures. So what are the differences? What are the advantages of this one versus this one? A person with high IQ and a person with high social intelligence. Compare. Dr. Lightman, one has a big heart and one has a big brain. I don't think they can connect really. The one with a large brain, he can be a scientist, he can even be a very cold kind of psychologist. The one with great social intelligence will know how to get along with people, how to do good to them, so that it's also good for him, but also good for them. And therefore, he's more desirable in the society. Owen, look, between us, I know many people who have a huge heart and they're not very successful in life. Perhaps because they have such a big, loving heart, they're not succeeding. Why are they failing? Dr. Lightman, they don't know how to use it. Owen, their heart? Dr. Lightman, heart isn't sufficient. You need to have a mind as well, brain. Oh, and so now you added to social intelligence not just a big heart, but also a brain. What kind of brain do you need to have high social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, you need to aim your heart correctly. Oh, and so summarize for me, how would you define high social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, in any case, we need both a mind and a heart. They need to be more or less in balance, and one who has a big heart must develop his brain. And to use the heart only according to the extent to which he developed his brain. And one who has a big brain needs to develop his heart. In order to use his brain only to the extent to which his heart agrees. Oh, and so I have two resources, mind and heart. How should they function in order to bring me as a human being, as a creature, as an entity, to a state of high social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, again? Owen, how do I need to use my mind and heart so both bring me to a high level of function in terms of social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, we need to constantly balance mind and heart and to increase, to grow them both for the best, for others, for the sake of others. Owen, so you say for the sake of others. I ask you about social intelligence and you keep pulling me from myself out towards the benefit of others. How is this movement from me towards the benefit of others bring me to higher levels of success? How does this emergence from myself towards others bring me, how does it bring me to higher levels of success in life? Dr. Lightman, you begin to feel others, you begin to feel how you can benefit them. You don't enter into those interactions in a crude way. Rather, you attract others through the way you relate to them. It helps you form bonds. All of our success in life is measured by the number of such bonds we can create around ourselves in a good, nice way. Oh, and our time is up. Thank you very much, Dr. Rav Lightman. Thank you all for being with us. New life, learning to live well. Thank you.